I'd like to begin with two readings to stimulate your thoughts. My first reading is by the great American author Flannery O'Connor. It's from a journal she kept when she was in her early 20s. She was raised a devout Catholic, and the language she uses clearly is shaped by her religious upbringing and reflects the dominant religious culture of the 1940s. In this passage here, she writes as if God were a person to whom one could address letters. She writes, "Dear God, I cannot love thee the way I want to. You are the slim crescent of a moon that I see, and myself is the earth's shadow that keeps me from seeing all the moon. The crescent is very beautiful, and perhaps that is all one like I am should or could see. But what I am afraid of, dear God, is that my self-shadow will grow so large that it blocks the whole moon, and that I will judge myself by the shadow that is nothing. I do not know you, God, because I am in the way. Please help me push myself aside. I want very much to succeed in the world with what I want to do. I have prayed to you about this, but I do not want to presume. I want to love. Oh God, please make my mind clear," writes Flannery O'Connor. My second reading is by the Indian-born priest and psychotherapist Anthony DeMello. With different words, he's trying to make a similar point, or maybe not. I'm not sure. You be the judge. This short anecdote is entitled Clarity. He writes, "Don't look for God," the master said. "Just look, and all will be revealed." "But how is one to look?" the disciples asked. "Each time you look at anything, see only what there is and nothing else." The disciples were bewildered, so the master made it simpler. He said, "For instance, when you look at the moon, see the moon and nothing else." "What else could one see except the moon when one looks at the moon?" the disciples asked. "A hungry person could see a ball of cheese. A lover, the face of his beloved." Thus my readings. So tell me, I'm new here. Why do you come to church? Or don't tell me, just think about it. Why are you here this morning when you could be sleeping in or settled on a comfortable couch at home perusing the Sunday paper? Did you come because you are looking for God here? This is a church after all, right? A house of God. Or are you here to say a prayer in hopes that God will hear you? These are fine reasons to come to church. But in my experience, they're not the reasons generally given by Unitarian Universalists. In congregations I've served, when the question has come up over the years, I don't recall a single instance when the answer included any mention of God. Some say when Unitarian Universalists pray, their prayer goes something like this: "Dear God, if there is a God, if you can, save my soul, if I have a soul." But despite our well-known doubts and uncertainties, there does seem to be some religious impulse that brings us here. So, in a book entitled Religion for Atheists, A Non-Believer's Guide to the Uses of Religion, The philosopher Alan de Botton explores the question whether or not religion is a good thing. He comes at this from the position of a religious outsider. He was raised in a committedly atheistic household, he says, as the son of two secular Jews who placed religious belief somewhere on a par with attachment to Santa Claus. His parents taught him to be wary of religious beliefs that are narrow-minded and dogmatic. Religion is divisive and dangerous and ought to be rejected, they said. Now, as an adult, he thinks religion is not necessarily nonsensical, as long as we understand that religion is man-made and not God-given, he says. Religion was invented to serve two central human needs, which continue to this day, he says. First, the need to live together in communities, in harmony, despite our deeply rooted selfish and violent impulses. And second, the need to cope with terrifying degrees of pain which arise from our vulnerability to failure, to troubled relationships, to the death of loved ones, and to our own decay and demise. God may be dead, but the urgent issues which impelled us to make him up still stir and demand resolution, he writes. In Flannery O'Connor's mind, God is not dead, but very much alive. Unlike de Botton, she was raised in a very religious home in Savannah, Georgia. Her parents were devout Catholics, a religious minority in the Protestant Bible Belt. In her journal, O'Connor addresses God with a youthful sincerity and an unmistakable sense of longing. She's only 20 years old, but has already been confronted with some hard realities of life and death. When she was 12, her father was diagnosed with lupus. She was devastated when he died just 3 years later. And she herself was diagnosed with the same disease when she was 25. When I read her journal, I don't sense a spirit of divisiveness or dogmatism. Instead, I see the sensibility of a poet. Her most well-known stories are insightful, imaginative, and have a healthy dose of dark humor. They speak of human frailty and resilience, of fallibility and forgiveness, of loss and of love. So, do you or don't you believe in God? That question does seem to be a litmus test when it comes to religion. It's a shame the issue is so often framed in terms of an either-or. It reduces many a conversation about religion into an all-or-nothing, take-it-or-leave-it, right-or-wrong kind of debate. I've always found it much more interesting to ask, what do you mean when you use the word God? In my childhood home, my parents didn't pray. I was taught that God is above all mysterious. God has been imagined in countless evocative and provocative and very different ways throughout history. And I confess, the older I get, the more I am moved by the multitude of gods imagined by humankind over time. A colorful parade of divinity, a sacred spectacle, each aspect of which touches me differently. Each unlocks a different doorway of my psyche. Each shines a light in a different dark corner of my soul. If I have a soul, For Flannery O'Connor, religious practice is an effort to see God, a heavenly being whose presence is obscured by our own shadow, our own preconceptions, our own fears and desires. For Anthony DeMello, our efforts to see God are themselves a big part of the problem. Rather than looking for any particular something called God, we should simply look at anything and everything. We should open our eyes to what is right in front of us. See only what there is and nothing else. DeMello was also Catholic, a Jesuit priest. But his advice to those seeking God, his explanation of revelation, has distinctly Buddhist connotations. It was the Buddha who envisioned salvation as an awakening. There is no God in heaven above, no other worldly paradise. Enlightenment means opening our eyes to the world right here, right now. Real religion, from the Buddhist perspective, requires no supernatural miracles. The world all around us is itself a miracle. And we are part of that miracle. Religious awareness comes when we stop deluding ourselves that we are separate, self-sufficient, self-sustaining, or self-derived. Religious truth can be found in something as simple as the sight of the moon. In Zen Buddhist circles, an autumn holiday is devoted to just that. Tsukimi is the name of the festival during which the faithful gather together at night. They light candles, read prayers, and share food. They celebrate and savor the beauty of the harvest moon and reflect on the nature of transience and transcendence. Zen Buddhists. When we look at the moon, what do we see? Do we see a sliver of God obscured by our own shadow? Or do we see a ball of cheese? Do we see a satellite circling the earth? Or do we see the face of our beloved? Or do we simply see the moon and nothing else? For Alan de Botton, Tsukimi is a perfect example of religion at its best. Religion should help us set aside a time and place where we can gather together and join in simple rituals that serve to deepen our sense of community and rekindle our vision of a life that is larger than ourselves. We need this kind of religion. We need a place, a community that will be there for us in times of trouble, that will help us find hope when our mind is clouded by doubt and despair. A place where, despite our human flaws and failures, we can learn to see good. At least that's what I think. What about you? Why do you come to church? What do you hope to find here? What do you hope to do here? Whatever words we use to describe our religious impulse, may they stir compassion in our hearts and help give our lives the shape of justice and love. Amen.